welcome to Hot Weekly.
I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this is Haunt Weekly, a weekly podcast for the haunted attraction, haunted entertainment industry. Whether you're an actor, owner, or just plain aficionado, we aim to be a podcast for you. Happy Monday once again, or whenever you choose to listen to this. That really is your prerogative, I suppose. But either way, I hope your weekend was a great one, and I hope it was a productive one, because it is getting to be that time of year.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
I saw lots of great finds over in my multiple haunter groups.
Yes, indeed. It's the time of year where even haunts that maybe don't have to work on themselves year-round are ramping up.
Yeah.
As we'll note in a minute, lots of haunts are recruiting their actors currently.
We've seen
so many requests for actors, both locally and in searching for this week's news.
Right.
So, yeah, it's that time of year. It's the time that we begin really thinking about Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the most wonderful time of year and the most stressful time of year.
Yes.
Those two are not mutually exclusive.
And most of the craft stores and some of the other types of stores have their Halloween stuff out, if not in the actual store, online. So that's fun, too. So that makes it feel more like Halloween.
Yes, we just did our inaugural visit to Big Lots.
Yes.
And their Halloween stuff. I gotta say, I'm deeply falling in love with their Halloween section.
Yeah.
We'll do our usual Halloween retail thing later this season when everything opens up.
We'll see.
We'll think about it.
We did it last year, so
yeah, but every year's a little different. But I do still love Big Lots still.
Mm-hmm.
They always have a couple of props or a couple of things that look like they could go into a haunt without much modification, if any.
Right.
And that's really, really cool. And they always have big skeletons and things. So this year it's a dragon skeleton.
Yeah, and they had the big one last year, but not the small one. If someone wants to buy and send me a dragon,
please mail it to me.
Please contact us at
Haunt Weekly. And you can contact us at Haunt Weekly on Twitter and Facebook, or reach out to us at hauntweekly.com. We are also at tinyurl.com/hauntweekly. That is our YouTube channel. It whisked away where you can listen to all of our episodes at your leisure. Mm-hmm. We're also on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, anywhere else finer podcasts are sold. We're even on Podcast Addict, I found.
Oh.
So we're on, all the places.
Nice.
We're not on Spotify, though.
Oh.
I'm a little aggravated about that. Hmm. Anyways, regardless, neither here nor there. Yes. Now, this is episode 140, and according to my advanced calculus, that is a number that is divisible by 4.
Right.
That means it's time to do
the news.
And to news we shall do. But, let me mute you. The first thing is, I always forget one thing.
Yeah.
I'm legally obligated to forget one thing every time I do one of these podcasts. I don't know what it is. 140 episodes, I haven't had a perfect score yet.
Okay.
Before we get into the news, we do our conference reminders, and that means I kick things off.
Yes.
All right. Coming up next week, 2 weekends from now, August 16th through the 19th in Mesquite, Texas, it's Halloween and Haunt Fest at the Mesquite Convention Center. We'll feature Haunters Mixer and Zombie Paintball Hunt, a costume ball, and a movie night. They'll also be touring Dark Tour Haunted House, the Parker House, Fear Phobia, and more, plus a tour of the Munsters Mansion.
Yes.
Additional info is still TBA, but you can learn all those details at halloweenandhaunt.com.
All right. Then, August 18th, it's the Haunters Barbecue in Jackson, New Jersey, hosted by the Jersey Devil Haunted Experience. Tickets are just $15 in advance. Not sure how far in advance, so buy them soon. JerseyDevilHalloween.com for all more info.
August 24th through the 26th in Indianapolis, Indiana, it's Mask Dash Fest, as they call it. That's why they name it that and don't have it in the domains, their own business. But it's Mask Fest at the JW Marriott, Indianapolis. Features all types of mask makers and makeup artists, including the legendary Tom Savini. MaskFest, without the dash, .com for more information.
All right. September 14th through the 16th, Scarefest in Lexington, Kentucky. And this is the rebirth.
Yes.
Forgot to mention that.
They sure as hell didn't.
Yes. It will be at the Lexington Convention Center. Guests include Cassandra Peters, aka Elvira, Joe Bob Briggs from Monster Vision, and Sid Haig, Captain Spaulding. TheScareFest.com for more info.
All right, November 9th and 10th after season. Geez, there's a long break there between mid-September and November. I wonder why.
Can't imagine.
Weirdest damn thing, ain't it?
Mm-hmm.
But November 9th and 10th in Champaign, Illinois, Dark History and HorrorCon. At the Garden Hotel Urbana, tickets are $20 for the weekend or $10 per day. Includes a film festival, DHHCon.com, for more information.
All right. November 9th and 10th, it's Legendary Haunt Tour in Salt Lake City, Utah. Holiday Inn Express. They will be touring Nightmare on 13th and Fear Factory, among others.
Yeah, I'm imagining most of the two haunts are not announced yet.
Well, yeah.
And I love that it has a place it has to be at, even though the whole point of the conference is to ride around in a bus and go to haunts.
Yeah.
They don't really have a place. It's not like you're going to be doing much at the Holiday Inn Express.
Right. Well, you know, there's always mingling to be had at these things. But LegendaryHauntTour.com to find out if they do have something there.
And my gulp moment as I read these notes. Coming up January 25th through 27th, right here in New Orleans, Louisiana, it's HauntCon / Halloween and Party Expo at the Ernest Memorial Convention Center. We'll be featuring us. We do not know what capacity. I am applying to speak. The call for speakers is currently open on that through the 15th. I will be applying, I promise.
Mm-hmm.
I really do.
Yes.
And we will definitely be there. So we'll see once again as things get closer in after haunt season. Start making wrench. Last time we had a little like informal meet and greet hangout thing.
Right.
Maybe we'll do something like that again. That worked really well. So yeah. Really cool.
Yes. I plan on doing something like that. So we'll give more details closer in.
Yeah, that's a... But yeah, gulp. Now this is in our conference reminders.
Yes.
Now it's real. But that's the last one we have for right now. So It's at the end.
Yeah.
All right. But yes, we have a lot of news to go through. And first and foremost, it is obviously actor recruitment season.
Yeah.
My God, punch in Haunted House or Haunted Attraction in Google right now, pull up the news links, and you will be bombarded with so many stories of such and such haunt is hiring, recruiting actors. It is crazy. One thing I did notice as I read through a lot of these stories is more haunts than I recall doing in the past are offering boo schools.
Right.
Or actor training. Several of them called them boo schools.
Yeah.
I kind of hate that term a little bit, but...
Aw.
Chris was like, it's cute!
But that's probably why you don't like them.
Yeah, I think that's why I don't like it.
Maybe they should call them monster mashes.
Oh, God. But yeah, so basically the haunts have been doing a very good job getting the word out about actor recruitment. I've not seen news stories locally, but I've definitely gotten emails and other communiques about actor training locally, especially the mortuary, who somehow I ended up on their mailing list 3 times.
Mm-hmm.
So they put out a call for actors, and I got it 3 times.
That was because we had to sign up every year in order to get the code to go for cheaper.
Yeah, it's true. But yeah, so we're not going to cover all of that, obviously. That would be crazy and not super helpful or relevant. My advice would be to actually, if you see these, share these on the Freelance Haunters group on Facebook. That's Japes' run group. Japes runs that group. Jesus, Jonathan, words have meaning.
Right, they do.
Japes runs that group. It's a great place for freelance haunters and people that like to roam from haunt to haunt. To get that kind of information. So share it there.
And it's also a great place for haunters, haunt owners, to find actors.
To acquire talent.
And other talents. It's not just for actors.
So, yeah, but we're not covering any of those with one important exception.
Yeah.
And that actually deals with Erebus.
Mm-hmm.
Erebus did announce that they are doing their actor recruitment this month. They've announced their dates for it. But that's not the big story.
No.
The big story is they are changing their scare strategy. Mm-hmm. They are, according, this is an article by Curtin Nagel at the Cranes Detroit Business. They didn't say they're getting away from automated or mechanical scares, but they're investing more heavily in the human-driven ones.
Exactly. Which I agree with completely.
Oh, this is awesome. This is...
We've talked about our love of human actors versus animatronics in the past. And I think this is a very interesting and potentially great call.
I agree completely. They said they are hiring 250 actors, and that way they'll have 100 working each night. They don't say how much of an increase that is, but they are indicating that it is a seemingly significant one for them.
Yeah.
And I think this is a great idea, and we've seen this pattern before at Haunts. We've seen Haunts that start out small, very actor-driven, because when you're small, like we are, you really can't afford much in the way the mechanical scares.
Right.
You have to do things on the super cheap, and mechanical scares are anything but. But they grow, they get bigger.
Yeah.
And as they get bigger and they have more money, one of the first things they do is they get to be the kid in the candy store and buy all these mechanical scares, and they sometimes drift too far that direction.
Right.
We've seen that pattern before.
Well, and the other pattern that we've seen is people not being able to get enough actors, so they fill in with animatronics.
That's true, too.
And then they get hooked on animatronics. It's a drug you have to get rid of.
No. You got to learn, like, use them properly.
Yeah. No. Yeah, animatronics definitely have their place, absolutely. But I prefer actors any day if I had the choice.
Yeah, I think it was Folklore in Atlanta that tried an interesting experiment.
Yes.
Where they had two main haunts in the third 3D space, but the two main haunts... One, this was from the owner's own mouth, was actor-driven.
Yes.
And the other was almost completely mechanical scare-driven.
Right.
And there was a lot of cool stuff in the mechanical scare side, but yeah, definitely in terms of intensity and all that, the actor side won out in my book.
Yeah, mine too.
And the scares that did work on the mechanical side were still human-driven, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so the jobs... pay what is minimum wage in that area, which is $9.25 per hour. Just found that one interesting. But yeah, these are paying gigs, and they are investing very, very heavily in human-driven scares. And Erebus is one of the largest haunts in the country in terms of square footage.
Yeah, it's been on our list to go to for a while.
It's been a bucket list haunt forever.
I mean, exactly.
In fact, Erebus is one of the reasons why Detroit is probably an eventual city for us to do one of our remote, like, far afield haunt tours.
Right.
Like we did Atlanta last year. We'll probably do Chicago this year.
We're hoping to.
Hoping to, yeah. Yeah, and Detroit might be in that next year. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this I fully support this.
Mm-hmm.
There's just no way around it. I love this. This is great. I'm happy they're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a very smart and savvy investment. It's so easy to get away from what really made you impactful.
Yeah.
And it's always going to be your people.
Mm-hmm.
Your people are always going to be your biggest asset, no matter whether you're a big haunt or a small haunt.
Right.
It's going to be your people. Your peeps.
Yes. And they're going to get the pops and the big scares, and then they get to talk about it afterwards. You can't talk to animatronics about how great your haunt was.
Nope.
You just don't get that kind of feedback from them. They don't do it.
They're very bad conversationalists.
They are.
On the upside, though, they're cheap dates.
Yeah. This is true. A little motor oil.
All right. But anyways... So yeah, basically, long story short, Erebus is investing heavily in human scares. I think it's great.
Yes.
End of story.
Yep.
All right, moving on then. Universal has announced another haunted house for its Halloween Horror Nights, Carnival Graveyard Rust in Pieces. This is from Magana Scavo of the Orlando Weekly. But yeah, this is just the next in a long line of announcements from Universal on this. It says it will feature a dilapidated carnival complete with, this part's a quote, creepy rides, games, guard dogs, and vicious characters.
Ooh.
I'd be very disappointed if I went to a haunt and there weren't vicious characters, but...
Yeah.
They're all fluffy lumpkins.
Yeah. Well, you know, for a while there, and maybe it still is, the cute teddy bears that came to life were a thing.
Yeah,
so.
And they still are. But they get, when they come to life, they come vicious, and I like that about it.
Yeah.
This joins other haunts that they have announced, including The Revenge of Chucky, Killer Clowns from Outer Space, Slaughter Cinema, Trick or Treat, Dead Exposure, Patient Zero, and most important, the Stranger Things haunt. Now, my question is, looking at this list of haunts they've already announced, is where does this sit next to the Killer Clowns one?
Yeah, because it would make a good transition.
Yeah, I mean,
from one to the other.
I would be worried they might be too similar, though.
So you think they should put them far apart so that nobody gets confused and think that they're still in Killer Clowns when they're actually in Rusty Circus or whatever.
Or Rust in Pieces, yeah.
Rust in Pieces.
That sounds horrifying. Someone should name a haunt. Rusty Circus, jot that down. You can use that, but I want credit. In an interview somewhere, we want credit. She wants credit. She came up with it. She wants credit for that. We want credit. Fuck that. We want credit.
Oh, God.
But, you know, I worry that it might be a little too similar. But then again, I also have trust that Universal can design just about any goddamn thing they want.
Yeah.
And handle. I'm sure they have thought about this far more than I have.
Oh.
And have a plan in place to make it
They
not...
have, like, a whole team of people to do this stuff.
Yes, they do.
You've thought about it for 3 seconds.
We just have two assholes and a recorder.
Yeah.
The worst Beck song ever. Anyone that got that joke just became my friend. Oh, my God. But, yeah, no, it's going to be an interesting one. I think it looks good. The promotional material looks cool.
Yeah.
I'm excited about it. We have other news about Universal. We're waiting for official announcements. We got some heads up on a few things, but
right.
We like to get our news from official channels when we can.
Yeah.
Because it's all about maintaining good relationships.
Well, that, and it gives you more information so that you can help distribute it.
All right, well... Going internationally for a minute and doing some sad news, unfortunately. Dracula's Haunted House and Surfer's Paradise in Queensland, Australia has closed after 10 long years of existence.
Yeah.
It was a year-round haunted house, and it just recently had its final day. Mm-hmm. You know, and interestingly enough, as you probably know, it's winter there currently.
Yeah.
So, Surfer's Paradise might be a little less Surfer's Paradise right now.
It might.
But still, the result is Dracula's Haunted House has closed. Now, apparently, this was a 5-story haunted house, 5-story attraction.
Mm-hmm.
Which I find mind-blowing, personally.
Yes. That's gigantic.
Even if it's not like a lot of floor space per floor, and I mean per level.
Right.
5 floors is a lot, and that's a lot of damn stairs or elevators.
Yes. I'd be setting an exercise for that one.
Yeah. Well, it'd be cool if you, like, took the elevator up to the top, and then every time you had to go to a new floor, you just did a slide.
Yeah.
Like, you never actually saw a stair, you just kept doing slides all the way around.
Yeah.
That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah.
You could do something like that. But yeah, it's closing down after 10 years. They announced it, and they had their last day just, I think, last week, actually. And sadly, the link we have in the show notes is to their Facebook post. I actually read about it on a Australian newspaper site. I think it was a Sydney Morning Herald. But their paywall wouldn't let me link to it.
Oh.
So I had to find the actual announcement instead. My apologies to you guys. But still... one thing they did say in the announcement that wasn't in the article, at least not to my knowledge, was that there will be a garage sale. So if you're in the Queensland area and if you are a haunter, pay attention to this. There will be a garage sale of the props and other items that were in the haunt. You may be able to pick up some cool stuff.
Yeah.
And give it a new life.
Yeah, or if you're just a fan and want something for memorabilia's sake, that kind of stuff too.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, there are collectors out there of haunted things, I'm sure.
Yeah. So, his name is Thanos. But yes, the people behind it say we'll be operating a new attraction in the location called Trick Pick. It's TrickPic, all one word. There's no indication what the hell that is. They've created like a placeholder Facebook page and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
But from judging from the graphic design, it does not appear to be haunt related in any way.
Yeah.
So whatever the hell it's going to be, it does not appear to be haunt-related.
Yeah.
But yeah, just it's always sad to see year-round haunts, especially internationally, close down because
Right. This
is about trying to spread the love of Halloween and haunting to other countries, and it's just a step backwards for us, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But they did say, and this is interesting, that they had over 1 million customers over the course of their run.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. That's 100,000 customers per year.
Yeah.
I call that a pretty good damn run.
I would, too.
So, yeah.
Impressive.
And here's hoping those 1 million Aussies go and pass it along. Pay it forward.
Yeah.
Keep the Halloween spirit alive. All right. Bringing it back to the United States, this is an article by Tristan Lewis at Local 8 News. A local fire department is using a haunted attraction for training.
Yes.
I love this, for the record. This is just great.
I do, too. I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, it's always interesting because it seems like haunters are constantly at odds with fire departments and fire marshals. And I know right. they're technically two separate entities, but they go hand in hand a lot of times, it seems.
Yeah.
But especially when it comes to giving haunters fits.
Yeah.
But yes, in Idaho Falls, Idaho, obviously, be very disappointed if it was a different state, they are using the Dare Haunted House, which is formerly Dr. Slaughter's, which we'll get to in 1 second, for training. Basically, they received new self-contained breathing apparatuses,
mm-hmm.
Whichever, and they need to train in them and learn how to use them. So what they're doing is they're going to the haunt, having it shut off all the lights, and trying to navigate around a pitch black haunt with the gear on to learn how to do it.
Yeah.
And if you trip over the spider web, you're just going to look in a special get now.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, this is a great idea. They chose it because of the winding pathways and the darkness that's, you know, in a lot of haunts, especially with the lights out.
Yeah.
But...
Well, all haunts try to control their lighting very carefully.
Right, but I bet with the lights out and new gear, it's going to be especially challenging.
Yes.
They're going to get really good at this because it'd be hard to make that mental map in your head for those of us who can.
I just want to know if the owners are like sneaking behind drop panels and messing with firefighters.
Probably not.
I don't recommend it if they're doing
No, I don't see that happening, but I can see the temptation to do it. How's that?
Now, there's actually two pieces of news in this story. One is mm-hmm. the fire department doing this, which once again I think is awesome. But the other is that the haunt is still alive, right. at least underneath a different name. We talked about Dr. Slaughter's in episode 120. They had shut down
right.
The guy behind it who had done it for basically 3.5 lifetimes was stepping away from it. It just, he couldn't do it anymore. And I don't blame him after that many years.
No.
And apparently Dare, the charity that runs it, is taking it over. And it's now a Dare haunt that's going to continue on. At least the location will continue on, even if it won't be Dr. Slaughter's.
Right.
So, yeah, this is pretty cool. And I think this is a great way to work with local fire departments. And it's kind of the opposite of what happens in Lafitte. Where the firefighters take the training building they have and turn it into a haunt.
Yeah, well, they did that for the first few years. Now they don't do that anymore.
Yeah, they did. They did. The last time they had the maze in it.
The maze was built with panels. Oh, it's
built here. That's right. Built with panels. Yeah. You're right. They did it for a while, though. They did it for a few years.
Yes, they did. And considering it was a burned building, it was filled with fog.
And it was dark.
Mm-hmm.
Dark.
Yeah.
Real dark.
Mm-hmm.
Like, imagine like the darkest blackout maze you've been in, then take it up a notch. That's about how dark it was.
Yeah.
It was crazy. But no, I just think this is a wonderful way to work with local fire departments.
Right.
And that makes everyone's life so much easier when that type of thing happens. I think that's great.
Yeah.
Okay, continuing on. This is an article by Jalen Cook at the Herald and Review in Decatur Scream in Decatur, Illinois. Hosted a small haunted attraction for the Decatur celebration. Basically, Decatur is a fairly small town, mm-hmm. like most small towns in America.
Yes.
They have some kind of festival.
Yes.
In Colfax, it was the Pecan Festival.
Yeah.
In my native Irmo, South Carolina, it was the Okra Strut. No, I'm not making that up. What other random weird festivals have we heard about?
Oh, gosh. There's we're in the land of festivals down here. I mean, there's so many festivals during festival season. A, there's a festival season.
Yes.
You can pick one of any number.
No names, yeah.
Any weekend.
There are, but there's always these weird festivals, that the locals come out to.
There's crawfish, there's strawberry, there's tomato. The tomato festival that's in the French Quarter.
I remember the Los Islanos Festival.
There's the Los Islanos Festival. It's a ton of festivals.
But anyways, what Decatur Scream did at their local festival
yes.
was they opened up what apparently was a mini haunt.
Right.
And basically, they sold tickets to it for $2. And they, by the way, I checked on their site. Normally, their tickets are $12,
mm-hmm.
which is still on the inexpensive side, but it's not $2.
Right.
And basically, they invited people to kind of get a taste of their haunted house at a drastically reduced price as they were doing that. I have mixed feelings about this idea.
Yeah. I can see that. Because, I mean, if it was like a walkthrough without the actors, then I could see it, you know, being less, because you don't have the full effect, and but you're also not giving away all your secrets.
Yeah, and that's, you know, kind of, and that's the problem with it. On one hand, this is a great way to get yourself in front of the local populace.
Right.
And to get them, give them an opportunity to, like, go through and experience it without much risk.
Getting to know you.
Yeah, they're already there.
Yeah.
They're literally just walking in the front door. They're already at the festival. They're walking in the front door. It's only $2. There's not much risk.
Mm-hmm.
So they can check it out and make a decision if they want to go to the full haunt when Halloween time comes. But at the same time, they might just assume that they got, you know, the $12 experience for $2. Why on God's earth would they pay $12 later?
Yeah, I think that would depend on the marketing. I think that they would have to make it very, very clear, and hopefully that they did, that this isn't the full experience. This is just the $2 experience. Come back for the $12.
Yeah. And the article doesn't really go into the marketing at all.
Right.
It does paint the picture of a fairly basic small haunted house.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, you could compare it to, like, and we don't know how it worked either, if they actually did just do, like, a walkthrough to see the sets, or if they had actors and things. But if they did it, then it could be like we do with young kids versus when the parents come back by themselves.
Yeah, sure. The no scare, light scare version versus the hard scare.
Yeah, the no scare, the scares that are hidden stay hidden. And you just walk through with your kid. And then you come back, and then you get scared, and you run, and you leave your purse.
Well, and unless you're running, like, Scare LA or something like that, you're not going to be bringing a huge haunted house to be built on site for a one-day festival and do a tear. Now, this is going to be something basic.
Yeah.
But you're right. It's going to come down to the marketing promotion. And do the people understand that, this is just a little flavor of it, not the full thing. And this is not a substitute.
Right.
Or going to the paying $12 and go to the full haunt.
Yeah.
You've got to find a way to make that clear.
Yeah.
But other than that, I mean, I think it's an interesting idea, especially considering when you're a small town haunt, you're going to live and die by your local audience.
Right.
You just flat out are. If they love you, if they keep coming year after year, you're going to be fairly successful. Word will spread and you'll, you know, be able to keep growing. If you're not... If that's not the case, then sorry. You're going to have a bad time.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, so that's something to be thinking about. It's a good way to be a member of the community and also introduce yourself.
Right.
I guess we'll see if it works out.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Shifting elsewhere to Minnesota, this article by Angela Davis at CBS Minnesota. The Minnesota State Fair is getting a few new attractions, it seems.
Mm-hmm.
7 to be specific. But it's one that we're interested in. It's the Haunted Castle Dark Ride.
Yes.
This is great news.
That sounds awesome.
A, sounds really awesome. But B, this ride is brand spanking new. It is literally being constructed in Italy. As we're talking, well, maybe it's been shipped now. I don't know. But
depends on when the fair is.
I don't know when they shipped it, okay? I don't know if it's been shipped yet. But it's being built in Italy. It's coming to the United States. And no one has even ridden it yet. Though I'm hoping they test it in Italy.
Hopefully. I'm sure that it's been tested.
But no one has ridden it commercially yet.
Right.
Now, we've talked several times on this podcast about dark rides and...
And how they're falling out of favor and going away.
They were becoming an endangered species, so much so that one documentary filmmaker was taking a 360 camera and riding the dark rides that remained, at least in because by his estimation, we were down to like our last 2 dozen or so.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Exactly. So he wanted to capture it for prosperity.
And he's been flying all over the world.
Yeah.
Doing these 360 videos of dark rides, and you can, we'll find a link to it.
Yeah, they look cool.
But yeah, so it's really interesting what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's like finding out that an endangered species managed to procreate in captivity. It's,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Yay, the pandas made it! That's what it feels like right now, hearing about this.
Yeah, and actually the state fair starts August 23rd.
Well, then the bear damn well been shipped.
Exactly. It should be shipped and in place by now.
It should be almost built by now.
But yeah, hopefully.
Holy crap. Yeah, let's hope it's shipped. No, this is just such good news. It makes me happy because dark rides were among my first haunted attraction experiences. And it's interesting that we're talking about a state fair because the absolute very first haunted house I went to was at the Tri-County Fair in Berkeley, South Carolina.
Yeah.
The JC's had a haunt there, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
And had a good time. It was a very different experience from anything I'd ever done before then. I was like 8 or 9 or so. I was not that old. In fact, my brother was too young to go in. He had to wait outside, the poor bastard.
Yeah.
But still, you know, it was a lot of fun. I had a great time, and it sparked something in me, obviously.
Yeah.
Something happened because I kept wanting to go on dark rides. Because that's when I started, when I could go to the state fair, you go on the dark rides. Ooh, the spooky one.
Yeah.
Then you find out they're sometimes kind of lame.
Yeah.
But yeah. Long and short of it is, I'm happy to hear another dark ride's being made, and I hope it kicks much ass.
Yeah, me too.
All right, some sad news now. God, damn, what an emotional roller coaster.
You put them in this order.
Yes, I did, and I don't really remember why. See, it's always bad, because when we do the news, right, I go in and I carefully place the stories in a specific order. I have a thread in my head I'm stitching together, and then when I come there, it's like someone just yanks the thread out and the whole thing falls on the floor.
Yeah. Whenever I find articles while sitting in a bar listening to our friends play music, do I need to put sad or happy next to it?
I don't know. Do the Donald Trump sad exclamation point.
No. Refuse.
Oh, my God. But anyways, this story deals with a planned haunt in Meriden, Connecticut. The haunt, I'm also Kentucky. CT is not Kentucky, Jonathan.
No.
It's Connecticut. I just can't spell Connecticut. But anyways, the haunt, which would have been in the Meriden Army Building, would have been entitled Armory of Darkness, which, okay.
Yeah.
Kudos.
Yeah.
You get the golf clap.
Yeah.
You get the golf clap for that one. Now that's a golf clap.
Uh-huh.
They had purchased the property recently. It's a historical building, but they ran into a bunch of issues trying to renovate it. Basically, it's needed far more extensive work than they realized, and including, frighteningly enough, this is according to the owner, multiple collapses.
Yeah, that's not a good sign.
That is not a word you want multiple in front of.
No, it's not.
Like, multiple wads of cash, or multiple orgasms, or multiple friends. There's like lots of things you want the word multiple in front of.
Yes.
Collapses isn't one of them.
No. It isn't.
The owner is Wayne Barneschi? 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 Barneschi. We're named Barneschi. Sorry, Wayne, if I screwed it up. But he runs a nearby haunt called the Trail of Terror.
Yes.
And he's, as a lot of haunters do, he's probably taking money from that haunt to invest and build up this one.
Right.
But yes, basically, work on the Armory of Darkness will not be able to resume until much later this year. He is already shifted focus to working on Trail of Terror for it, preparing for its opening in September, which makes perfect sense.
It does.
And the contractors involved in the work have had to stop because the permits have expired. It's an unfortunate amount. He says the total for repairs could cost $1 million.
Yeah, that's a lot.
You know, and here's the thing, and this and the next story both are related to this topic, but one of the things haunted houses can do and have done in the past is be used as a means of keeping historic buildings occupied and functioning and maintained rather than letting them rot. Because haunted attractions can survive and use buildings that many other local businesses can't.
Right.
And, like, this is an armory. There's not much else you'd want to put into an armory, business-wise.
No.
And the next one we're talking about is an old hospital.
Yeah.
Once again, there's not exactly a wide world of business options for taking that over. So a haunt moving into it is a way to have someone own it, maintain it, keep it up, and, you know, keep people going to it. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's a cool thing, but it can also be very, very risky, as this one shows, and the next story, too.
Right.
And speaking of the next story, this one involves, this one's from Kansas City, Kansas, I'm assuming, but basically, it involves the Whitney Provident Hospital in Kansas City. And the story here is basically, this was built in 1918 to treat African American patients, and it remained open through 1972, basically, you know, through all of segregation.
Yeah.
I'm
wondering if that's the same, if it's like descendants of the Whitney plantation here.
It'd be interesting.
That'd be interesting to research. Sorry. Sidetrack.
Yeah.
Squirrel.
Squirrel. But yes, but it closed in 1972. It was eventually purchased by the owner of a haunted attraction who put in a haunt named Dr. Deadly's Haunted Hospital. That was open for much of the 90s by all description, but ever since then, it has not been maintained or cared for, unfortunately.
Right.
It has fallen into the grave disrepair. It's been heavily vandalized. It's come home to squatters.
Yeah, it sounds like the one down the street here that we would have loved to have bought had we known it was ever vacant.
Yes.
Until recently.
Yeah. But the long story short is it's been bought by a coalition of people who are planning on restoring and preserving it as a historic property.
Yeah.
And this mammoth hospital, according to the appraised value, was only worth about $82,000, which is not much,
right?
To be honest, I mean,
no.
For a hospital, for a building this size in a city, that's not a lot. Let's be honest, or even anywhere near a city, like kissing distance of a city, it's not much.
Yeah, did they actually say the size of it?
No, they didn't say the size, but the photographs indicate pretty clearly that it's
gotcha.
At least it's three stories and multiple wings. And
yeah, it looks big.
It's big.
It looks like a big hospital.
It definitely doesn't look like an $82,000 building in terms of size.
Right.
But yeah, the condition of the building is the problem.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, and the thing about it is this, the article seemed to have a little bit of, I don't want to say criticism of the haunt, but it seemed to think the haunt besmirched it by putting the asylum sign over the top of it. And it's like, first it was this, then it became a haunted house, and now it's finally getting preserved for real. You know,
yeah.
Thing going. The narrative of it's a little bit weird to me.
It is a little bit weird.
But, you know, the point is, imagine how much worse the condition of it would be if it hadn't been occupied for a decade.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it could be far, far worse, is one of the things to remember.
Yeah.
But yeah, these are both cautionary tales about taking over historic buildings. Yes, you can often get them very cheap. Yes, they often look very cool. Both the armory and this hospital look very imposing.
Yeah.
But A, you've got to be cautious about what you're doing with historic buildings, not just from a historical preservation standpoint and dealing with the codes that come with that, but also respecting the history of that place.
Yeah.
You know, remember, you're opening up a haunted house. Like, I don't think, you know, Armory of Darkness, once again, golf clap, is necessarily an issue, but I can see why some people might have taken issue with a haunted house opening in that historic hospital. I don't know if they did. I didn't read anything about it.
Right.
I'm just saying I could see why they might.
Yeah.
But long story short, just some cautionary tales about taking over historic buildings and being mindful of the risks involved. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, moving on. More uplifting news. Let's do some happy stuff.
Yay.
We only got two more stories here. A veterans memorial group gets a big boost from a local haunted house. Now, this I had to read like five times before I understood what the hell was going on. but it's Prague, Minnesota Haunted House, the Support Our Troops Haunted House. See, I thought Support Our Troops Haunted House was like an organization attached to a haunted house.
Right.
But it's actually the haunted house name.
Yeah.
You can Google it and find it.
Yeah.
They're from Farmington, Illinois, Minnesota, I'm sorry. Donated $7,500 to the New Prague Veterans Memorial in Prague, Minnesota. That's where I got Prague from.
Yes.
Basically, this is going toward a proposed memorial for community members who served in the armed forces with a focus on those who were killed in action.
Mm-hmm.
They are hoping to break ground on it in 2020. And they're, like I said, currently raising funds to do so. The funds were generated by the haunt, which was open only 4 nights in October.
Yeah,
so that's... Good work, guys.
Yeah.
For a relatively rural haunt, open only 4 nights, that's good work.
That is. Yeah.
And some really damn impressive work there. I am definitely amazed at that. But yeah, no, I mean, haunting does good things. You know, this is what we do. I mean, it's not just charity haunts that do it. All haunts do donations and things and try to contribute and give back to the community. At least most haunts do.
Yeah.
Haunt, and if you're not, you should. God damn it. But still, the point remains, I think this is just a little uplifting story, and it's a little good press for the industry.
Yeah.
That's what I see.
Exactly.
All right, our last story. You know, we didn't really have to cover this one, but I wanted to because if I had to read this and go, you have to, too. Them's rules.
Uh-huh.
This is an article by John Squires at Bloody Disgusting. Party City is bringing animated Pennywise and Sewer and life-size Pennywise to Halloween 2018.
I wonder where they saw that at.
No idea. Not a damn clue.
Uh-uh.
No idea. Yes, but basically they have announced they are bringing 2 Pennywise props to Party City. One is a life-size Pennywise prop. I can't get a clear reading if it's an animatronic or if it's just a static prop. There's no video for it, so I'm just going to assume static prop, actually.
Yeah.
And there's a somewhat lightly animated Pennywise in the Sewer prop.
Yeah. Basically, the eyes light up.
When did eyes lighting up make something an animatronic? Serious fucking question here.
Yeah. Isn't that just a nightlight?
Yeah. Basically, my nightlight is now an animatronic, is what I was just thinking, literally. The little nightlight I got over the toilet is an animatronic.
Funny, we both went there.
I'm surprised about that, but yes, I was thinking the exact same thing. Which is weird, because we just put the nightlight back in. Maybe that's why.
It's been a few months.
Anyways, maybe I just don't go pee enough at night.
That's probably it.
I should go pee more at night, apparently. That's what I'm learning.
And so are our listeners. You're welcome, everyone.
I have strong bladder. You're welcome, internets. Oh, God. This one went off the rails so many times.
Yeah.
Well, what do you expect? This news episode.
No.
But yeah, I mean, seriously, when did the eyes lighting up make something an animatronic? In all, all seriousness. But anyways, you can watch the video on the link we have provided.
And the 6-foot Pennywise does move and say spooky phrases and light up. Yes.
It is an animatronic.
It seems to be more fully an animatronic than the sewer animatronic.
Which is sad
that?
Because the sewer one, at least in static, looks better.
It does. It does.
I mean, okay, everyone knows the haunt industry's feelings about these commercially available props. And, like Spirit and Party City and wherever else these props are distributed and sold to. And there's a reason why you're not going to find them in Fright Catalog or anything like that. And I mean, these, to me, and it's weird because I go to the comments on this and everyone's like, oh, they look so good. And I'm like, really? Did you watch the fucking movie?
Yeah, well, it's, and the people commenting are people who go to Party City to buy their Halloween decorations.
You might have a point on that one. Maybe I shouldn't.
These are not haunters commenting.
Oh, God.
Probably. These are Halloween enthusiasts who are putting on a dinner party.
And Halloween enthusiasts with more money than brain sometimes.
Yeah.
These things are expensive.
They are.
These types of props get ridiculously and prohibitively expensive.
And there is nothing wrong with being a Halloween enthusiast
putting
on dinner parties. I realize I sounded like
condescending.
Yes.
No, there's nothing wrong with that. That is absolutely wonderful. Please keep Halloween alive.
Yes.
But But please don't spend hundreds and hundreds of dollars on a prop that's going to break before your dinner party's over.
Exactly.
How's that?
Yeah, and in fact, what you could do is I am positive that there is a cheap light-up face somewhere, and you could do your own paint job on it, and then you could say you contributed to its making.
You made something new, yeah.
And it wouldn't be hundreds of dollars.
Yeah, and then because the
there's licensing issues and all that. Yeah.
But the weird thing to me is, like, if you watch the video of the sewer one, the voice sounds wrong.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound like either version of Pennywise. It sounds like someone took like mashed up the Tim Curry and the modern new Pennywise,
and
the voice. It's very weird and off-putting. It doesn't. Mm-hmm. It's bizarre. But yes, basically we're sharing this because expect to see a lot more Pennywise stuff in next year. Which I thought last year we were going to reach peak Pennywise.
Yeah.
I really thought that. I figured this year we'd have another fad or something. We always have a fad.
Right.
But this year I didn't think it'd be Pennywise again, but it's looking, the way it's being promoted, that it's going to be another year of it. So even though we're getting a year break between films, we're not going to get a year break from Pennywise.
It's it.
Pennywise is it, yes. Oh, my God. But, yeah, I find these props frustrating. And here's the thing. We've bought them. We have. We have bought them in the past.
Not these specific ones.
Not these two, but ones like them.
Yeah, when we were first starting out.
Yeah, we bought ones like them. And it was one of the first and most difficult lessons we had to learn. Mm-hmm. Was because we would sink not insignificant percentage of the funds we had available for the haunt into these props.
Right.
And then they wouldn't even make it through three nights of a season.
Yeah, that's part of the reason that we prefer actors to animatronics. We haven't had good ones.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's just it. You want good ones, you got to start dealing with pneumatics. You have to start dealing with, all these different things.
Lots and lots of money.
And lots of money. It's not cheap. You know, like the electric chair prop that's very common and haunt that runs you like what, $5,000?
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, we talk about how expensive these props are, and then they're not cheap. They're a few hundred usually.
Yeah.
But for something that might as well be considered a disposable prop,
yeah,
it's ridiculously expensive.
It is.
So yeah, I don't know. I don't hate Spirit. I don't hate Party City. I think they're doing wonders to keep Halloween alive commercially and supporting, and they support the industry that way. But still, I wonder how many would-be haunters got frustrated with these props and just stopped doing haunty stuff.
Yeah.
I have to wonder, you know?
Hopefully not that many.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I would like that to be the case.
Yeah, me too.
Well, that is all the news we have this go-around. And it's a few minutes early, but we've been flapping our guns for over 45 minutes. So
yeah.
I don't necessarily see a reason to continue any further, but more Pennywise.
Yeah.
You know, we could do a worse. We could do a lot worse.
Mm-hmm.
We really could.
Yeah.
Well, on that note, folks, thank you very much for joining us on yet another Haunt Weekly. We greatly appreciate you spending the past near hour with us and hope that you have a great rest of the week. As always, take time. Find us on Facebook and Twitter, Haunt Weekly, on both. Give us likes and follows and retweets and all those things. We're also at hauntweekly.com. We're on Podbean, Google Play, Stitcher, and also YouTube at tinyurl.com/hauntweekly. That will whisk you away to that aforementioned YouTube channel where you can see all of our previous episodes. Very, very cool thing this YouTube is. But on that note, everyone, until next time, I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this has been Haunt Weekly, episode number 140, doing the news for July and early August. We will see you guys next week.